handle the mind-boggling permutations and combinations of information and connectivity.
Absolutely.
And just in the last month or so, an announcement came out that a company in Israel has just produced a chip that will multiply the power of the computer 100-fold.
Absolutely. And not only that, the Israel Paper Company has most of these chips, the billions that exist already, Chuck, do not have a battery. They're passive. You, from the radio scanner, about the size of a flashlight,
mm-hmm.
about $250, it sends out a radio signal that bounces back. But the Israeli paper company developed a technology of incredibly small batteries that can be attached to these little chips the size of a period at the end of a sentence, and they can now, with a battery, be read by a helicopter, a plane, or a satellite from miles away.
Wow.
In space.
Well, there is so much more that we could talk about, including the mandatory chips in every vehicle manufactured now in the United States of America.
Indeed.
To enable government to track every single human being driving a vehicle. Also, the mandatory chipping of every animal in this country so that any source of animal food will be trackable. And governable, and then also the mandate of bringing all growing of vegetables and food products under government control. It's all there. It's all coming into picture. Okay, we've got this unbelievably overwhelming, growing body of information that is revealing that the prophecies of ancient scripture are indeed true. They are coming together, but it's not for sensationalizing. It's for helping us to get ready to realize, to put a framework around our lives and realize that we cannot continue as business as usual like the people in Noah's day. We have got to be sort of building an ark in our lives. We've got to get serious about our faith. We've got to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, don't we?
You're absolutely right, and we need to respond to this not with fear and gloom,
right,
but rather recognize that this is exactly what Jesus said would happen.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that when we see these things begin to come to pass in Luke 21:28, we are to look up because our redemption is drawing nigh. This should motivate us, Chuck, to witness, and it should motivate us to walk in holiness in an immoral world.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not trying to be alarmist or doom and gloom, but to say, look, friends, we are approaching the crisis of human history spoken of by the prophets and Jesus Christ. We need to become serious about our commitment to Jesus Christ and to share our faith with others while there's still time. The last chapter of my book, in the last 5 minutes of the documentary, share the plan of salvation. Because ultimately, the ultimate issue is, what is your attitude and relationship to Jesus Christ?
And God, the scriptures make it very plain that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
Absolutely.
God isn't playing games. He's not looking for cheap grace. He's not looking for a cheap confession. He's looking for people who are living their lives in full confidence and in full trust upon the blood of Christ and His salvation. And friend, I hope that's you, and if not, I urge you to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Confess your sin, come clean before God, embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and begin to walk with Him in joy from this day forward. A big thank you to Grant Jeffrey for joining us. And friends, again, the book Shadow Government, or the DVD Shadow Government. The book is $14. The DVD is $18. Or if you'd like both of them, your combined gift of $30 to Save America Ministries, only $14 postage and handling. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us or get it on our website, saveus.org. And I want to urge you, and I do mean urge you, to become a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Prepare the way of the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Chapman as we talk about what's really going on financially in the world today, because, of course, you're not being told the truth. The truth is that the world economy is collapsing, and certainly over in Japan, and specifically in China and Shanghai and Hong Kong. Why property prices have dropped dramatically. I mean, we're talking about 20 or 30% in a week. And this, of course, they were overinflated for a long period of time, but the housing market is collapsing over in China. The export market has been markedly reduced in China because, of course, people in other countries are not buying products as much, and certainly of the European products because of the lowering of the value of the German mark or the European currency, why their products are really much more competitive in many respects than some of the Chinese products. So certainly the economy, though, of the entire world is contracting. Certainly what's happening with the so-called pig nations in southern Europe is that they're having to make dramatic cutbacks, 10, 20, 30% of reduction in government services. And, of course, this creates tremendous unrest. The truckers actually went on strike in Greece and shut everything down there for about a week. And the government just simply said, we're not going to allow this sort of thing. Declaring a national emergency, they forced the truckers to go back to work so that the economy did not totally collapse. And this is just in this last week. But you're not reading about really the important things happening throughout the world. Your attention is being focused on, well, football season's going to begin. They've started the training camps now, and certainly within a few weeks, we're going to see our initial football games. And, of course, your attention has been focused for some time on the oil spill there in the Gulf. And ladies and gentlemen, if they could put a cap on it simply recently, why couldn't they put a cap there almost 90 days ago? Well, actually, the spill was on April 20th, so we're talking, well, almost 100 days. They allowed this thing to go on. They did it intentionally. They spent an awful lot of money or wasted it. But it was a wonderful diversion. And, of course, the benefit of the oil spill was now we've been able to actually shut down offshore drilling. They called it deep drilling there, but this is going to cost billions of dollars. It's going to destroy 8,000 jobs there initially, if it only lasts until November. It's supposed to be discontinued, I think, November 30th, and they can start their offshore drilling again. But I don't really think they're going to let them go back to deep offshore drilling. Of course, they've stopped the offshore drilling, not only in the Gulf, but off North Coast Alaska. That's another 4,000 jobs gone. But if this continues indefinitely, why, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of jobs being lost. And let's see. You're going to have to get my producer. You're going to have to call in the house and tell him, ask him what to do. Let's see. I don't know if my producer is having a little problem. Let's see. I'm going to ask him if he will simply call the engineer, have the engineer come out, because I'm sure you'd much rather talk to Bob Chapman and hear me rambling on about what's going on, because Bob has written a wonderful newsletter. His latest newsletter was all full of fascinating information about what's really happening in the world and, of course, what's happening here as far as our finances are concerned, because, of course, we, our economy, well, what was it Ben Bernanke said? This is unusually uncertain. Our economy is unusually uncertain. What does that mean? It means we're in an awful lot of trouble. And we'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope our producer will call our engineer and get our engineer out here so our engineer can actually go ahead and get our guest connected. He's sitting there on the line expectantly waiting, and so if my producer will call my engineer or our consultant while we'll get things underway. But hopefully we'll have Bob with us in just a moment here. I'm not quite sure exactly how this unit works. It's a new unit. We had to get the old one, gave up after 15 years. But we'll have Bob with us in just a moment or two. Under any circumstances, why, this is, I'm going to just put you on a little music here, and I'll be back in just a moment. Bob, how are we doing?
Okay.
Oh, we just had a little trouble, a little engineering problem, but we've got you there. Well, tell us a little bit about what's going on over in China. We were just talking about that a moment or two ago, but apparently the housing market's just falling apart over there.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of the banks are demanding that the government step in and save them from their fate.
And I don't know whether they're going to do that or not. You know, China is very, very dependent upon exports, and I think that that game is winding down, and were they to allow their currency to increase in value, that would make the situation even more difficult. That $1 trillion in dollars worth of foreign exchange that they have, actually they have almost $2 trillion, I think. And the other trillion is in other currencies. And I think that they could go through $1 trillion pretty fast. You know, they have 1.4 billion people, and they've got more than 30 million of them unemployed. And it's been that way for a year and a half in spite of the injection of...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bob is simply talking about what's going on over in China. They're having real problems. They're beginning to lose some of their export market. Certainly, they have 30 million people unemployed over there. And although they have rather large reserves, they've got to be able to provide some sort of support for these 30 million people unemployed. Certainly, a lot of their production is beginning to contract. They have whole cities built there, magnificent cities, skyscrapers and all sorts of apartment buildings, and nobody in them. And, of course, now, of course, the price of housing is beginning to plummet, both in Hong Kong and Shanghai. And I couldn't believe those figures you were giving it, how far those housing prices have dropped. How far are these dropping?
Well, I think they could easily drop 50%. You know, there's an awful lot of speculation. There's a tremendous amount of leverage involved. And I just think that it's going to be very, very hard for them. What happened was they injected $1.8 trillion into the economy, and they wanted it to go into the creation of jobs and manufacturing and creating services and that sort of thing. And the money ended up in the hands of speculators who just drove the prices of lots of things up, which included real estate.
Well, because in essence, that's what happened here in the United States. We put all this money out and let the banks borrow at 0% interest. And instead of lending the money out and helping it to stimulate the economy, they simply either bought bonds or they invested in the stock market and drove the market up to a ridiculous level. So they're not getting the jobs generated either in China or here in the United States. And it seems that we talk a lot about solving the problem, and then we put the money out, and nothing happens. I just can't believe our leaders are that stupid. If they let the banks borrow with that amount of money, they would insist that they lend the money to businesses to get industry going, but that doesn't really seem to be the agenda. They talk about increasing lending. They talk about making jobs and new businesses, but it's all talk. I don't think they really want it at all. What do you think?
Well, I think you may be right. I don't know about that, but I do know they have a people problem in spite of years of forbidding people to have more than one child and so on. And I think a war at this time would be very convenient for China. It would get rid of a lot of, I don't know, maybe they consider them useless eaters as well. And as you know, the communist government, their attitude toward the people is rather barbaric. I mean, if you remember back in the early 1950s in Korea, they would send waves and waves of people at the Allied forces, and the first and the second wave would have weapons. And the rest of them wouldn't. And as the first and second wave fell, they would pick up the weapons and try to use them. And so, you know, they lost millions of people there. And so their attitude is one of, you know, if we get too many people, let's get rid of them.
Well, it's unfortunate, but I fear that is really the truth, and I fear that this may very well happen in the United States. There really are people who want to dramatically reduce the population here in the United States. I share your concern about a war. Certainly, we've been able to find out now there are about an armada of 100 naval ships surrounding Iran there in the Sea of Oman, the Persian Gulf, the Arabian Sea, the Red Sea. 100 naval ships, three carrier task forces. One task force would be enough to take out Iran. Three of them, you can totally pulverize the nation. They're sitting there. You go up to the internet, you will not find what I'm telling you. The only person who really tells you much of anything is Fidel Castro, who said there's going to be a nuclear war in the Near East, and it's going to have, you know, involve a number of nations. I hope and pray he's wrong, but Fidel knows what's really going on. He's very good friends with David Rockefeller's daughters, and I'm sure they share their information with old Uncle Fidel. Well, Bob, Sidney, let's talk a little bit about what's happening here in the United States. President Obama says that certainly his program is working. Sidney, it's working in Detroit. People are going back to work there, and the Chevrolet is taking to recall maybe 10,000, 20,000 workers, something like that. I don't know how many workers they recall, but supposedly now Detroit is beginning to produce cars again because Barack Obama, his brilliant programs are working and working effectively. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't believe that. And I don't think they're going to put that many people back to work. As you well know, they're doing a lot of their new work and new factories outside the United States. And I don't see them doing a great deal of hiring in Detroit. I mean, in Ontario, they closed one place and they're closing another. And, you know, thousands of workers are out of jobs. And so I find that hard to believe that they're going to employ that many people.
Well, I find it hard to believe, too, and I find it hard to believe that the average American is going to buy a $41,000 Volt car, you know, electric Chevrolet electric car, for $41,000 when you get a Toyota for, well, maybe $25,000. But anyway, certainly they're putting on a good show. We're seeing a lot of television, and what they're trying to do is get the people behind the administration. The elections are coming up in just a few months, the midterm elections, and they want to make it look like why America's economy is recovering. But is America's economy recovering?
No, not that I know of. I can find no evidence of that. We've had a big inventory build, and that's carried the economy up until this month of June, and you know, it's going to continue they're going to try to continue to build the economy. But you know, my question is, who are they going to sell to? They depleted inventory and then they filled it up. Now who's going to buy all these things? Oh, we still have over 20% unemployment.
Now, of course, what you're talking about is the U6 unemployment. They keep using the U2 figures because they're lower. They look better. But if you go to U6 unemployment, you're talking about over 20% U6.
Well, in U6, you have to pull out the birth-death ratio because their figure is around 18%. But if you pull that out, which is all phony baloney, then you will have 22.38%.
The elder adage that figures don't lie, but liars can certainly figure an awful lot of work for the government, and it's all a matter of perception. They manipulate the stock market to make us feel that things really aren't so bad. They manipulate the unemployment figures to make us believe things aren't so bad. But certainly, you look at the number of people losing their jobs every single month, the number of people losing their homes every single month. They tell us the economy is doing great, and yet, you know, with almost $2 trillion they've injected, and why, of course, what happened, I think. What's the gross domestic product this last quarter?
Well, they're talking about 2.4%, and that's down from 3.7. And they'll probably revise it again. I have a lot of information in Wednesday's issue of the International Forecaster, and so they went back 3 years and changed all the numbers. I mean, it's just like, you know, people writing history and deciding they don't like it, so they change it all. And that's what's going on in Washington. And I project, and I came in around that level. I think in the third and fourth quarter we're going to drop down to probably 1% and then to even to minus 1 unless there's stimulus. And stimulus, I think, will come in the form of the Federal Reserve injecting $5 trillion into the economy over a two-year period. That's what I think is going to happen.
Well, of course, there's a lot of talk by one of the chairman of one of the Federal Reserve banks, I think it's in St. Louis, who talks about what they need. Fed needs to do is start buying Treasury bonds. Could you explain to our listeners why, if you buy Treasury bonds, why, of course, you can put money into the economy? Because the average person doesn't understand how this whole phony baloney system works. How do you inject money into the economy by buying bonds?
Well, first of all, when the Fed buys bonds, more often than not, they've created the money out of thin air. And they bought about, just in treasuries last year, about 80%, which is about $300 billion. And they hid that fact. And what they're doing is they're creating money, giving it to foreign central banks, and the foreign central banks are going into the auctions and they're buying the bonds from the treasury and also from the agencies as well. And the agencies of Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie, and FHA. And so they're continuing to do things without telling the public. And we don't know how much money they've injected to do that, but it's certainly over $500 billion.
But, of course, a lot of the banks have treasury bonds. And when the Fed buys those treasury bonds from the banks, they give them money. And that's how the Federal Reserve puts that large amounts of money into circulation. In other words, when the Fed buys bonds, they're giving the money to the banks. Now the banks have more money to loan, and they don't have to have as many bonds. They're, you know, holding those bonds. And so basically it's a means of simply putting money into circulation, and basically they're probably going to start doing that. Once again, creating money out of nothing to buy bonds to put it into the economy. But the American people are not supposed to understand how this whole scam works. Well, Bob, certainly one of the things that you bring out vivid in your newsletter is that the M3 is falling and falling dramatically. It's fallen something like 9%, you know.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 630-9796, or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Working group on financial markets has the key people in the financial industry, certainly the Secretary of the Treasury Department, the Federal Reserve, the Commodities Exchange people, SEC, I believe the first Federal Bank of Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Who did I miss is in that organization, the Working Group on Financial Markets? Did I get them all?
Well, as far as the banks are concerned, none of them are named except the New York Fed, which is the operational bank for the 12-bank member group of the Fed. So it's the Federal Reserve, the New York Fed, the Treasury Department, the SEC, the CFTC, and that's the gang, so to speak. And they do have another group that has another name, I forget what it is, which is under that, and they probably do a lot of the operations. But this goes on 24/7 all over the world in every market. And sooner or later it's going to be talked about, and if we have a Congress that will listen to the American people, then maybe we can get it changed. It was made by executive order. And that brings up a whole other host of problems. Executive orders are dictatorial in nature. And there shouldn't be any executive orders. I mean, the concept is crazy.
Well, of course, initially, why the whole idea of the Working Group of Financial Matters is just to prevent a plunge in the stock market. If the stock market were to drop 1,000 points in a day, people would panic, begin to sell. And so to prevent that sort of thing, you know, on that rare occasion when the markets begin to drop like a rock, why, of course, temporarily, occasionally, why you would actually have this group, the Working Group on Financial Markets, step in. The only trouble is that once you give that authority to any group, that power, that authority is going to be misused. Now it's used on almost a daily basis to manipulate our reality and make us feel good because the stock market is not falling. And certainly they can make us feel good one day, bad the next day. They can wipe out people's, you know, holdings, especially if they're foolish enough to be in the market on margin, and they'll simply drop the market and wipe out everybody who's on margin and impoverish large segments of our population. People who are foolish enough to believe that the stock market is an honest game, which it is not. But go right ahead, Bob.
Well, it isn't. It's always been controlled. We didn't know it, and before it was illegal, and now it's legal. And it's been legal since August of 88. And when that legislation was, when that executive order was signed, Ronald Reagan wasn't all there. He had already had Alzheimer's disease, and he was mentally deteriorating. And he didn't have a clue to what he was signing, I don't think. And it was for the good of the market, as you just explained, but that's not what the people who got him to sign that thing had in mind. It was manipulation in the imposition of a corporatist fascist government, and it was an important link in doing that. It was part of a mosaic, just like they did away with tariffs, and now we have free trade and globalization. And I wrote many, many years ago that is one of the ways, and one of the important ways, that they would bring down the U.S. economy eventually to a very low level where people would be forced to accept world government. And if they didn't do that, they wouldn't eat. And we're headed in that direction, and it's going to happen. And if we allow them to, and that's why the next election is so important. And if we can change things by kicking out the criminals, well, maybe we can get some positive results.
Well, I think it's important for people to understand the whole idea of the European Union was to unite Europe. That's what it was all about. They lied to the public. They said, oh, you're not going to lose your sovereignty, but they were lying. That's what they want to do here with the United States. That's why they're not trying to stop immigration from Mexico, because they wanted to join us together with Mexico. They wanted to unite the North American hemisphere. They actually want a multicultural, multilingual society. They want to destroy sovereignty. When you understand this is going on all over the world, it's part of a long-range plan for a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world religion, and, of course, the destruction of Christianity. When you understand that, you understand so much of what's going on today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, well, Bob, simply, what is the impact, do you think, of this global oil spill, the Gulf oil spill, on our economy? Do you think this is real? Do you think this has been dragged out intentionally to stop offshore drilling? Do you really think that they want to limit the ability of the American people to be oil or energy independent?
Yes. And I thought it was a false flag from the very beginning, and I still do. You know, we get so many conflicting reports about what's going on, but we do know one of the things that they wanted to accomplish, two of the things, is the passage of cap and trade and to get a carbon tax. And thus far, they've been completely unsuccessful in doing both. And I think that's why it was drawn out, trying to scare or force Congress into passing such legislation like they did. With the Medical Reform Act and then followed by the new Financial Regulation Act, both of which are absolute total nightmares. And and it's going to continue to get worse. And I think a lot of congressmen who are having town hall meetings right now are catching a lot of flack from the public. And the public, many of them, are very well filled in, and they're challenging these people. We've got to get them out of office because they're all paid off except for a handful. And then we have to follow it by neutralizing a great deal of legislation and doing away with many things that these people have imposed upon us. And if we can do that, we can save the country. And if that is not forthcoming, it's going to be very bad.
Well, I'm sure it is. I think the major thing is to get people informed, and this is why you do what you do and why I do what I do, trying to get people to question what they're being told by the controlled media. And I think once we can convince people that the media is controlled by a very small group of people, and I'm talking about television, I'm talking about radio, I'm talking about news magazines, I'm talking about newspapers, I'm talking about book publishers, and you have a good book that's really going to tell what's going on, you're going to have a very hard time first getting it published, and if you do get it published, getting it distributed or discussed at all. It'll get the conspiracy of silence from the controlled media. We'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And according to Bob, why the economy is contracting over in China, the housing market there is collapsing. Certainly the economy is contracting somewhat in Europe, although it's not as bad as here. Certainly it's really in bad shape in Great Britain. It's not in very good shape in the United States. But certainly, if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And Bob, would you like to tell our listeners how they could get a copy of the International Forecaster and subscribe to your newsletter as I do?
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economics, social and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And we also have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. And all you have to do is go to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com. That's theinternational, F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R.com. And we have a second site for the time being, www.intforecaster.com. That's I-N-T-F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R. Or you can email us at Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like to call, that number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Bob, the telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Now, do you think that the market is going to fall? What about the dollar? Cynthia, you mentioned on our afternoon program that the dollar has made a head and shoulders formation, and maybe you'd like to tell our listeners what that really is and what that means.
Well, of all the technical formations in charting, that's probably the most deadly, and it's perfect. I mean, a perfect head and shoulders, and it's not gobbled up. It's straight away, so to speak, and it's broken down on the right-hand shoulder firmly. We had a close today, which to me was rather surprising. Of the USDX at 81.50, down from 89 probably a month ago. And it came up from 74. So it's going to get out and test 74 over the next couple of months. And so I think the dollar is going to continue to go downward over a period of time. And other currencies are also going to have problems as well. Major currencies. It's 20 countries that are on the verge of bankruptcy, and the U.S. and the U.K. and others are similar in problems. And so one of the things I think people have got to remember was that up until the end of June, the dollar was down 13.3% against gold. And most of the other currencies, the big ones, were down an equal amount against gold. And that's been going on for over 5 years. And so you're going to see a continuation of all currencies falling against gold. And so you get two things to look at. The viability of all currencies against one another as well as against gold. And where you want to be is in gold. And I think the second half of the year, there'll be more losses, and I think that versus gold. And I think we could come out down 20 or 25 or 30% just in this year versus gold, which is dreadful for the currencies. And that's why I keep on telling people to buy gold and silver coins, bullion, and shares. It's the only way you can protect yourself. As far as the market's concerned, we just saw the Dow move from 9,800 to 10,600, we'll say. And it's probably going to move up to 11,200. And that's in anticipation of this $5 trillion injection into the economy by the Federal Reserve. And so I see that is viable, and that's the telegraphing of what's going on. And that move started at about the same time that I came out, if you remember, on the show, and I said, look, this is what I think they're going to do. And they did it. They are going to do it.
Well, $5 trillion is going to have, you know, down the line, this is going to create tremendous inflation, won't it?
Yes, it will. And the reason that gold has been strong against other currencies is that gold is the is the now the preeminent currency in the world, not the dollar. And that happened over the last 15 months. And also, if we do have excessive inflation coming, and we can talk about inflation in 14% or higher, then I think we've really got problems in our hands, that's for sure.
Okay, well, we've got Mark calling from basically Post Falls, Idaho. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, good. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. You have a question for Bob?
Yes. You know, my question is the relationship and the end game with these money makers is, do you, Bob, do you see the first of two parts being that you would hyperinflate a currency so that you could devalue it to the point where, you know, your loans that you owe, especially bondholders or the Chinese, would get paid back less than what we owe because it's like a pot of soup. It's so diluted. Could you explain that relationship of what would come first?
Well, what we're looking at is inflating away the excessive dollars bonds that have been created by the government and other governments as well. And this is an old trick. It's been used for centuries. And the only way, again, you can protect yourself is in gold and silver-related assets. And they will do that, and they will take it up, the inflation, and create and spend the money. And the next step after that will be another fall in the viability of the economy and finances, probably after the election, after this one. And they may, if they're able to, do it again. Only next time it won't cost $5 trillion, it might cost $10 trillion. So they could do that several times as long as the hyperinflation didn't get out of hand. On the other hand, there's some point along the way that they want to pull the plug on this thing. They want the economy to go down. And the reason they want the economy to go down is they want Europe and the United States to be in such a terrible economic and financial position that they'll have to accept world government. And Stan and I were kind of the pioneers in explaining to people why this is all happening. This is not incompetence. It just didn't happen. It was planned that way. And so that's the motivation behind this whole thing.
Yeah, you know, that actually makes sense in the sense that these people are, you know, if these were just clowns like in the 70s that racked up inflation and we took care of it with a recession. And but when the paper money that you exchange your gold for isn't worth anything, they're not playing with a real card of decks, or if their marbles aren't all there, then it's a destroy the economy if they can come in and buy everything, property and everything, with the real assets that they've obtained from all the fake money. Then,
well, it's go ahead. Go ahead.
One of the problems is that they have is that they've gone for broke here, and they've got to make it work, or they're going to lose it all. And they know that. And I don't think they're going to be successful. I think we're going to continue to inform people of what's really going on, and we don't need it for everybody to understand. We just need perhaps 5 or 10% of the population as activists, perhaps 40% understanding and saying, yeah, we're with you, but you lead it, and half of the people will be in the dark no matter what. I mean, there's no way of changing that.
Do you think they'll try to do another 2006 scenario where they just run money and credit and make up a... I mean, I don't see how you could do that without a jobs market, though.
No, it's not. This is a whole different ballgame. We haven't been in this position going back to the 1930s, and this is going to be far worse than the 30s. At least at that time, we had a stable currency. We no longer have a stable currency. They valued the dollar 50% at that time, so they could put print twice as much money. They simply doubled the price of gold, and now they had all the money. But they can't keep doing that because they have nothing behind our currency. It's a worthless paper currency. And one of these days, people are going to wake up and realize that everything they've spent their whole life working for has been destroyed by these wicked people. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think that's so important, as Bob says, people understand that what is happening is not happening by accident. These people know what they're doing, and all you have to do is read Henry Kissinger's article in the New York Times, and it was the International Herald as well, but the New York Times, January of 2009, called A Chance for a New World Order. A Chance for a New World Order, and he'll just tell you that out of the chaos that's coming, you're going to have two choices. You can either go into chaos and see the destruction of society, or you can go along with their new international financial system, which, of course, is their world government. Which choice do you want? And most people faced with chaos and crisis and rioting in the streets and no food and the breakdown of public services like we've done over in Iraq. I mean, when we went into Iraq, they had electricity 24 hours a day in Baghdad. And now after the heroic Americans have been there for 6 or 7 years, well, they're lucky if they get two or three hours a day of electricity in Baghdad. How could you do such a poor job unintentionally? I mean, they have the same problem with sewer and with water and we destroyed the infrastructure of that society intentionally. There was no need to do it. We did it. I think it was sort of a prologue to what may lie ahead here in the United States. Just we did the same thing in Zimbabwe. And, of course, we have 85% unemployment, and we have a total breakdown of society controlled by a man that we installed and we're keeping in power. His name is Mugabe. A communist that the people there didn't want, but Henry Kissinger promised the people, if things ever got a hand, you don't have to worry. America will come to your aid. Well, you know, Henry Kissinger's word, and $5 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks any day. Anything else, Mark, before we let you go?
So Bob, would you say the devaluation will probably be the last resort when people won't buy or, they just know we're defaulted that the money makers will say, hey, we're going to have to, wrap this up?
Well, I think devaluation deflationary depression are something that people don't know about. They can't conceive. They don't know anything about the 1930s anymore. The only people who really know about it are people who are Stan's age and my age. And the rest of the world might have an inkling, but that's it. And they're going to be in for a big surprise. And, again, the only thing that's going to be worth anything is gold and silver-related assets. You've got to have them.
So
and, you know, with
you,
high unemployment, it's going to go higher as well.
So your silver and gold, the funny money of the day, you'll be able to keep the value of, like your gold will be, if it's $3,000 of the funny money, if they even devalue it, will they still give you the equal, trade, or will the government, they're so crooked,
No. What gold will do and silver, they will reflect the lessening of value of currency. And so if the currency today is worth a dollar, and then perhaps 3 years from now, it might be worth 30 cents. And that means that you would have had 150% increase in the price of gold to offset that. So if a gold was $1,000 an ounce, it would be $2,500. And the dollar would still be plunging. So you'd be able to get 150 times more dollars for an ounce of gold than you would have 3 years earlier. And the greatest gains in gold come during a deflationary time, because gold usually either stays the same or goes up in value along with silver. And the end result of that is that you offset the losses that are occurring elsewhere. Just to take the last depression during the 1930s, you had most everything fall 60, 70, 80, 90%. Some things fell 95%. And so what we're looking at is if gold just stayed the same and everything went down in value, you would have that much more than anybody else. So either whether we have inflation and then deflation, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to catch it both ways.
It's definitely a good time to buy silver right now.
Both gold and silver.
Yeah, both of them are good. That's definitely a safe haven.
Well, I think some people, Mark, will tell you to buy gold, and some people tell you to buy silver, and I think you ought to just maybe go, would you go 50-50, Bob? How would you separate your gold and silver investments?
Well, in the final analysis, I think gold is the more powerful of the two. Although in the marketplace today, it has a lot more leverage. But I like it 30% silver, 70% gold.
All right, there you have the final analysis. Mark, anything you want to say before we let you go?
No, I appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, that was, of course, Mark calling from Post Falls, Idaho. And, of course, our guest is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, Fasted Read. It comes out twice a week. I get a chance to read it. I always make a point to find the time. Information there you will not find elsewhere. And you'll find it in the International Forecaster, written by Bob Chapman. Our guest this evening will be back in just a moment to wrap up this hour. Well, Bob, I'm going to give you the full 3 minutes to finish the program today.
Well, I think what you, those of you who have been watching Europe, you know, you're probably saying, what are we?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
And if you're in a position to help, we'd love to have you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters to subscribe to the newsletter or get our products or anything that you can do or support our advertisers. We do have a few advertisers that help us, but with almost 60 outlets or over 60 outlets every week, why, it's a tough proposition coming up with the funds to do what we do. But if you're in a position to help, fine. If not, simply we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Now, how do you understand what's going on? Well, I have a couple of talks on finance. One is called the Financial Tsunami. I gave it about 5 years ago. It comes with a syllabus. Another was the Financial Armageddon. I gave it about 2 years ago. Comes with a syllabus. Explains exactly how they did this whole thing. We have simply a three pamphlet set, about 50 pages in each one. They're a compilation of our newsletters. It's called the Financial Meltdown, and you can get all three of them together, I think about $10 plus shipping, and it's a good place just to sit down and review. Now, you can go up on our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can pull down all the newsletters and read them there for absolutely nothing. It's just convenient to have them in pamphlet form, and one reason we made them up is because I like to have them in pamphlet form and sometimes go back and reread, get all the details of how they engineered this whole financial scam. And believe me, it is a financial scam, and what they did and the way that they created this whole problem was to begin to pay the banks to deposit their money with the Federal Reserve System rather than lend it out. But they're not going to tell you that. But they have almost $1 trillion of money that has been deposited in the banks, deposited with the Federal Reserve System rather than being lent out. With a leverage form of 10 to 1, if they were to lend that out, it would be $5 trillion. If they were to allow them to go 20, 30, 40, you could imagine how much money there would be that they get lent out almost 20, if they were in 20 to 1, why they get lent out $20 trillion. Of course, that would be inflationary, and so they're sterilizing the money, keeping it in the Fed, but they're not explaining these things to you when they talk in these terms, unless you really understand what it's all about. Why, you'll be totally confused, which is exactly what they want. Certainly one of the best books we have on this subject is The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's written by our good friend Ed Griffin. We also carry a book written back in 1899 by Mr. Walther, an attorney, called The Coming Battle, of how the banks were going to take over the American government. And ladies and gentlemen, they do. The Federal Reserve is a privately owned central bank. It's owned by the very banks that are supposedly it's regulating. And, of course, now with this new federal act that they have, having federal financial legislation, now they're going to expand the power of this privately owned central bank so we can destroy all of its opposition. And believe me, a few very powerful people really control this all. They work through the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers. If you have not yet read Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, you need to get that. You need to get the little pamphlet we put together on the history of money. And then, of course, Prophetic Warning, Andrew Jackson's farewell address in 1837. He told us exactly what the bankers were up to and the fact that if we weren't wary, they were going to take control of our government, which they have. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, then we hope that you'll go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. You'll tell other people about our program. Remember, we're having an all-day conference on October 17th, and you're going to have reservations. We're going to have to get some new hotel rooms. We had a block of rooms all reserved, and the last one went out today, so we'll get some more. But if remember, you want to come to our all-day conference. We're bringing in speakers from across the country, some of the finest speakers you'll hear. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, because this is a spiritual battle. And behind all of these wicked men are powerful spiritual forces. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of John Bork. And John, of course, has been studying what's going on here in the world since the 1970s, and he's written a book. It's called The Conspiracy, which is a good name for what's going on. It's a writes under the name of John Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. And this is a fascinating analysis of the background of the history of this movement towards world government, because it didn't begin in the 1990s or the 1890s or the 1790s or the 1690s. This move towards world government has been around for thousands of years and certainly has worked through, well, many organizations, really through the mystery religions and the secret societies, and then down, of course, through the Kabbalah, which was the codification of the secret, the mystery religions carried out about 600 B.C. By the Jewish rabbis and living in Babylon at that time. And then, of course, picked up by the Greek philosophers in the 3rd and 4th century, certainly before Christ. It became the foundation for the Gnostic religion in the 2nd and 3rd centuries after Christ died. And then, of course, the religion of the Templars and the Rosicrucians, and then carried forward to the modern-day Masons, who actually trace their origin all the way back to the time of Babylon and to Nimrod and to all of these people in ages past who were disciples of the mystery religions. John, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Well, I'm honored to be with you, Doc.
Well, why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, how you got involved in this, and what you've learned in your extensive research.
Well, it all began back in 1980. I began my Christian walk, and I had a job, still do, as a traveling salesman, and I had plenty of time to listen to Christian radio tapes, and became very grounded in my faith, and from there I became more discerning and could see more clearly the aberrant teaching of the cults, and in the evenings I read voraciously, and in time I began to see the world reality more clearly in the light of Bible prophecy. And I was especially interested in eschatology, the study of the end times. By 1994, I first learned about the New World Order. I think it was on the Prophecy Club or Southwest Radio Church. And in fact, I think it was Ralph Epperson talking about his book, The New World Order. And then shortly thereafter, I got into shortwave radio, and I was off to the races, accumulating information about this grand conspiracy. And as I learned more fascinating information and attempted to share it with friends, customers, both Christian and secular, I was by and large greeted with skepticism and some hostility. So by 1999, I was so overwhelmed by what I'd learned, I was compelled to compile and edit a book from the many books, newsletters, transcripts of tapes that I'd accumulated. And I thought I'd put the ball in the other person's court and let the chips fall where they may. I didn't feel there was a book out there at that time that condensed the great deal of information that was out there that dealt with literally hundreds of years of the conspiracy. And I wanted to come out with something in rather short form, a condensed Reader's Digest or Cliff's Notes form, if you will. And this was my attempt to accomplish just that.
Well, because you're not talking about hundreds of years, you're talking about thousands of years, this whole move that's coming to a climax today to bring about this one world government, this one world religion. This is not new. It's been around for a long time. But we're living in the most exciting time in the history of the world, and we'll be back in just a moment with John. We'll call you John Wright. All right, John. Well, you go right ahead and pick the story up. What should we call you?
Oh, John Burke is fine.
All right, John Burke, then. The name on the book is John Wright. That's a pseudonym, but go ahead.
Well, when I first did it, I thought a pen name might be appropriate because it was pretty hot material, and thought I'd stay under the radar, but at this late date, I guess there's no sense in doing that any longer. But anyway, you're right. It certainly does go back thousands of years, but the modern-day manifestation is more in the 200-plus range.
Okay.
I didn't include footnotes because I thought the sheer effort to do this, an amateur like myself, might cause me to just give up. But I do credit the authors about two-thirds of the time as the material is presented, and I have a resource guide at the end of the book with over 100 references. And unlike most of your guests, I haven't got a PhD or written a book from scratch. I'm just like most of your listeners. And my book is called The Conspiracy, and recently I heard one of your guests, Terry Cook, explain rather simply the definition of a conspiracy, and that is when two or more people plan an illegal act in secret. And when it's put that simply, I mean, it's pretty obvious that something like that could happen pretty easily. But we're programmed not to think that way. When we hear the word conspiracy, we naturally put the word theory with it. It's kind of a Pavlov-style thinking that we've been ingrained with. And I think a more apt term is perhaps conspiracy fact or conspiracy science. Starting at the beginning, I quote from a song, it riles them to believe that you perceive the web they weave. And that was from the rock group in the 60s, the Moody Blues, On the Threshold of a Dream. And then in my introduction, my very first paragraph, I'll read briefly here. Among most of us who have a conspiratorial view of history, it is a well-known fact that in 1954, H. Rowan Gaither, president of the Ford Foundation, explained to Norman Dodd, chief investigator of the Select Committee to Investigate Foundation, we operate here under directives which emanate from the White House. The substance of the directives under which we operate is that we shall use our grant-making power to alter life in the United States so that we can comfortably be merged with the Soviet Union.
If anybody would like to hear my interview with Norman Dodd, they can go up on the Internet, just type in Stan Monteith and Norman Dodd. You can actually see my interview with Norman Dodd, where he makes that statement. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I was just commenting. I said John was just talking about how he opens his book with the quotation about the Norman Dodd's interview with Rowan Gaither, who is the president of the Ford Foundation. And Rowan Gaither said, you know, we're operating under a White House directive to use the grant-making power of our foundation, the Ford Foundation, to so alter life in America that one day it can be peacefully merged with the Soviet Union. And basically, I interviewed Norman Dodd. You can hear that interview on our secret government four-tape set or something with my interview with Norman Dodd. Or you can watch it on the Internet. I simply go to your search engine and type in Stan Monteith and then Norman Dodd, Rowan Gaither, something like that, Ford Foundation. And you should be able to pull it up there, and you'll actually see it's a little grainy, but the information is there. And it was a fascinating experience to hear Norman Dodd relate the things that he had learned when he was the director of research for the Reese Committee back in 1953 and 1954, and begin to uncover the fact that the great tax-exempt foundations in America, Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie, and the others, were actually working here in America as subversive organizations to destroy the sovereignty of our nation, to bring about world government, to finance communism, and to bring about this global union, which, of course, has always been the aim of the ancient mystery religions. And go right ahead, John.
Well, you could certainly say we are growing a lot more like the USSR and vice versa. Further on in my introduction, I state there is a term called cognitive dissonance or disassociation, which is the inability to believe what you've been programmed not to believe, however compelling the evidence. And, of course, a prime example of that was the Twin Towers, 9/11. The way they came down. And, of course, you've discussed that for several years. And, of course, the key is Building 7, the third building, which comes down 8 hours later and obviously was imploded from within. And when you bring this up to people, you get a glassy look. They just don't recall it because it's just not brought out by the mainstream media. As a youngster, I had many people joke with me about my name. And they would ask if I was a member of the John Birch Society, which leads me to a book I recently read called The Politician by Robert Welch. He was the founder of the John Birch Society, and it deals with Dwight Eisenhower. I got it from a Bircher who was one in the 60s, and he told me that it was referred to as the Black Book. By Welch. They also had the Blue Book, which disseminated to the new members basically what they stood for. But the Black Book he kind of held back because Ike was so dear to everyone, they just couldn't possibly believe that he would be doing things that would benefit the communist cause. And when you finish reading the book, The Politician, I mean, there is hardly anything that he ever did that didn't benefit the communist cause.
But of course, the one problem is, John, is that Robert Welch was not a communist. He was an internationalist. And of course, the communists want world government. The internationalists want world government. And so this is all working. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, of course. And the goal there is this merger, eventually, this bring about a world government. And it was just an inappropriate term to call him a communist. He was not a communist, but he did much to help the communists because there is a subversive element within America, and it is these people of great wealth whose loyalty is not to America, but these internationalist dream. It's a fascinating book and well worthwhile reading.
Well, right. Welch, the president of the founder of the Birch Society, never did refer to Eisenhower in the book as a communist. He simply pointed out that he always did things that would benefit them. And now I have an interesting quote, Doctor, that I got directly from you. Here we go. Shortly after the Allies reached Germany from the west, Eisenhower ordered a halt to the advance. As the Russians advanced from the east to central Germany, Eisenhower refused German attempts to surrender. It took another 3 weeks of brutal fighting for the communist hordes to break through German defenses and reach Berlin. Can there be any doubt that it was all planned that way? And, can you continue on? Of course, he cooperated with Stalin in Operation Keel Haul. It was a violation of the traditional Allied spirit of freedom, but also of the Geneva Convention.
Well, you should tell our listeners what Operation Keel Haul was.
You bet. It was classified secret in 1972 and is off limits to investigators. But what it was is we turned back the Russian soldiers who had surrendered to us back to Stalin, and I'm sure their ending was not positive.
There were, about
there were literally millions.
There was the real figure was 6 million. You can go on the internet, look up Operation Keel Haul, and that was they say 2.5 to 3 million. But the real figure was close to 6 million, and most of them were killed. We sent them back knowingly. It wasn't just soldiers; it was civilians, anybody who'd even been taken captive by the Germans, and these were Russians been taken captive by the Germans. There were women and children. And they were all sent back to be killed. And they were able to conceal Operation Keel Haul from the American people, and they do to this day. There are a number of books written on it, Operation Keel Haul, The East Came West, The Secret Betrayal by Tolstoy. You can get these books with great difficulty. We actually have an excellent DVD on the subject put out by the BBC. But, ladies and gentlemen, you really need to get the information and find out if this is really true. And how could they conceal the death of 6 million Russians or a death or a destruction of their lives by Eisenhower? I mean, everybody's heard of the Holocaust and the 6 million Jews, but what about Operation Keel Haul? How could you conceal that? And I think that's such an important point, John.
One finishing paragraph dealing with Eisenhower. History records that he, as the supreme commander in Europe, and those who were behind him on the Washington scene, continually made mistakes and blunders, which invariably helped the Russians. Eisenhower stopped the Allied force, which had invaded from Italy, from crossing the Po Valley, then opened up another front in France. This move gave Stalin more time in which to work his way west and also opened up the Balkans for invasion by the Russians when the time came. Then we go to Harry Truman, who said the buck stops here. But under him, we turned Eastern Europe over to the communists after World War II, and he could have stopped it. We also turned China over to the communists under Truman. China was ruled by Chiang Kai-shek, who was unswervingly loyal to American interests. He was educated in America and wanted a constitutional republic patterned after America. Although Mao Zedong's communist forces were poised to challenge the national government after VJ Day, their rule in 1945 was confined to regions of rural North China. Their chances of victory were nil. In 4 short years, the actions of Washington and the State Department had tossed away all this military and political might. The story of how this happened is an amazing betrayal of America's security by its own officials. Actually, if Joseph Stalin had written the directives which the State Department followed in China from 1941, they could not have served Russian interests more directly. From 47 to 49, there was a policy in the State Department to do everything they could to undercut national government leader Chiang Kai-shek and bring communism to China. The Senate's McCarran report found that Chiang had an arms embargo placed on his government that prevented him from obtaining weapons anywhere in the world, even weapons he had already purchased that were on Okinawa and other Pacific islands he was not allowed to get his hands on. And then finally, one other short paragraph, Doctor. Concerned over this policy, Congress appropriated $125 million for weapons for Chiang Kai-shek. But the State Department kept the ships laden with weapons in port in San Francisco and Los Angeles for a year and a half. When the ships finally arrived and Chiang's troops broke open the cases, they found rifles with missing bolts. Chiang had no choice but to constantly retreat, eventually to the island of Formosa, because he had no weapons or ammunition to fight with.
And I think that's so important for people to understand is that the American State Department, which was really the Council on Foreign Relations, brought communism to China back in 1949, which may explain why we're doing everything we can today to finance communism, to fund communism, to transfer our factories to communist China. There's always been some sort of a secret working agreement between our leaders and their leaders, but this is not something the American people are supposed to understand. The American State Department brought communism to China, installed this ruthless regime that killed probably 100 to 120 million people, and most people have never heard of the Great Hunger in 1958 to 62, where between 41 and 43 million Chinese were starved to death by the Chinese government. How could you cover up something like that? You can look up it on the internet under the Great Hunger. Under the Great Hunger. They only say maybe 30 million people died. It was really 41 to 43 million. But how could you cover that up while you control the media in America? And the American people are not supposed to understand why it is we're doing everything we can to build up the Chinese communist regime to which today is the second largest manufacturer in the world. Go right ahead.
You ask why this isn't reported in mainstream media. Well, the control over America's media started in 1915, according to a congressman in office at that time, Oscar Calloway, who placed these comments in the congressional record. In March 1915, the J.P. Morgan Interest got together 12 men high up in the newspaper world and employed them to select the most influential newspapers in the United States, insufficient number of them to control generally the policy of the daily press of the country. These 12 men worked the problem out by selecting 179 newspapers and then began by an elimination process to retain only those necessary for the purpose of controlling. They found it was necessary to purchase control of 25 of the greatest papers. An editor was furnished for each paper to properly supervise and edit information regarding the questions of preparedness, militarism, financial policies, and other things.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. John, go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Subterranean movement, this world occult movement, this movement of secret societies and mystery religions. And pick up the story there. John was talking a little bit about the Priory of Zion. I've always been a little skeptical about that because the people who wrote the books on that are really very anti-Christian. And there's some people who think that this is totally fraudulent. Other people think it was real. We know that most of these organizations were real. The Priory, well, we'll just have to wait and see. Go right ahead.
The secret purpose for the Knights Templar, however, was to preserve the Merovingian bloodline in hopes of one day establishing a world government and putting their king upon the throne, a king who would claim to be the offspring of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene. On October 13, 1307, all the Templars in France were arrested, including their Grand Master, Jacques de Molay. The king also tried to locate the treasure of the Templars, but the treasure could not be found. In March 1314, de Molay, the Grand Master of the Knights Templar, and Geoffrey de Charny, owner of the Shroud, today called the Shroud of Turin, were burned at the stake. From that point on, the knights seemed to vanish from the stage of history. Nevertheless, the order continued to exist.
Well, I think it's important that people understand that the Knights Templar, certainly many of them, they were the central bankers of Europe during the 13th century, and basically they had a great vast fortune, and many people think that they went to Switzerland, and the Swiss banking, which began at that time, was really related to the Templars. Others, of course, went to Scotland. It's even said that some of them came to America. They had a whole fleet of ships, and there's a great deal of evidence that long before Sidney Christopher Columbus ever came to America, the Templars were here. He came up with the idea that this would be the place, this would be the nation that would one day bring about what they were dedicated to, and that was the idea of creating this one world government under the control of this spiritual leader. But go ahead.
The French Templars found a refuge in Scotland, where the group maintained itself as a coherent body for at least the next 400 years. They eventually developed into an organization called the Scottish Rite. The death of Jacques de Molay at the hands of King Philip was never forgotten. During the French Revolution, as the head of King Louis XVI fell beneath the guillotine, a man leaped onto the scaffold, dipped his hand in the monarch's blood, flung it out over the surrounding throng, and cried, "Jacques de Molay, thou art revenged." And finally, but let us not forget that the Order of the Knights Templar was at first only a front organization for a more secretive group known as the Priory of Zion, whose real purpose was to capture the wealth of the world, establish their own world government, and introduce a Merovingian king to sit upon a throne in Jerusalem. They are said to be the true possessors of the temple treasury and the behind-the-scenes controllers of the world's currency. I will go on to Chapter 3 of my 15-chapter tome.
All right, fine. But, of course, this whole idea, I think people really have to understand this whole idea that Merovingian bloodline, that, of course, Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ were married, is total heresy, and I really don't believe it at all. But certainly there are people who do believe this sort of thing, and because this whole foundation of this whole movement is anti-Christian. And anything that they can possibly do to destroy Christian faith, they're going to do. But go right ahead. And this whole idea of the Merovingian bloodline is an anti-Christian heresy. And yet, of course, they keep preaching this, and it's being preached to this very day.
Well, absolutely. And it was kind of the essence of Dan Brown's book. The name slips me right now that he came out, the big seller from a few years ago.
Well, let's see, there was the Da Vinci Code, and there was the...
Yes, the Da Vinci Code.
Right.
The classical definition of the world's oldest secret fraternal organization or society, the Freemasons, is that of a system of morality veiled in allegory. Skipping ahead, to most students of the conspiracy, the modern-day manifestation begins on May 1, 1776, with the founding of the Illuminati by Adam Weishaupt, a Jesuit priest and a professor of canon law at Ingolstadt University in Bavaria, today part of Germany. Weishaupt's organization spread quickly, especially among fellow intellectuals at his university. There is some evidence that Weishaupt had become affiliated with secret societies before he founded the Illuminati.
And I think that is the key to this, that really the Illuminati was more or less a continuation of these ancient ideas about bringing about the one world government. But, of course, it was all tied into the occult and the fact there was power there. If you could tap into the other dimension, we'd go right ahead.
Nesta Webster, one of the major researchers into the Illuminati, has summarized their goals as follows.
And hold that thought. We'll get to this in just a moment when we get back here at Radio Liberty. Well, John, you go right ahead.
As I was saying, Webster found their goals as follows. One, abolition of monarchy and all ordered government. Two, abolition of private property. Three, abolition of inheritance. Four, abolition of patriotism or nationalism. Five, abolition of the family. For example, of marriage and all morality and the institution of communal education of children. And six, abolition of all religion. In 1777, Weishaupt was initiated into the Masonic Order, the Lodge Theodore of Good Counsel, in Munich, Germany. His purpose in joining was not to become part of this benevolent order, but to infiltrate it and then to control it altogether. In fact, the Masons held an international congress at Wilhelmsbad, Germany, in July 1782, and Illuminism was injected into Freemasonry by indoctrinating the Masonic leaders. Much of what is known about the Illuminati today comes from a book written in 1798 by Professor John Robison, a professor of natural philosophy at Edinburgh University in Scotland. He entitled his books Proof of a Conspiracy Against All the Religions and Governments of Europe Carried on in the Secret Meetings of the Freemasons, Illuminati, and Reading Society. In 1798, shortly after the publication of Professor Robison's work on the Illuminati, American minister Reverend G.W. Schneider sent a copy of the book to President George Washington, who was a very visible member of the Masonic Order. On September 25, 1798, Washington wrote a letter to Reverend Schneider. Quote, I have heard much of the nefarious and dangerous plan and doctrines of the Illuminati, but never saw the book until you were pleased to send it to me. It was not my intention to doubt that the doctrine of the Illuminati had not spread in the United States. On the contrary, no one is more satisfied of this fact than I am. It was said that Washington never again...
Under Arafat's leadership, the PLO innovated...
...the last few years of his life and renounced Masonry on his deathbed because of the Illuminati influence. There were many strong warnings issued against the activities of the Illuminati in America. On July 9, 1798, David Papin, president of Harvard University, issued a strong warning to the graduating class and lectured them on the influence Illuminism was having on the American scene. And President Timothy Dwight of Yale University issued a similar warning. I don't think we'd hear similar warnings from those two institutions today, would we, Doctor?
We sure wouldn't, and hang on to that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with John. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is John Bork, and we're talking about his book, The Conspiracy, where he tracks the background of this whole world movement, and it is a very real world movement. He referred, of course, to Nesta Webster and her warning that the purpose of the Illuminati was to destroy all existing governments and all existing religions. Now, we carry her book, Secret Societies and Subversive Movements. It's key to understanding what's going on. We also carry her book on the French Revolution and on secret societies and subversive movements. So these things are available from Radio Liberty by calling our 800 number. And now, the other thing is, of course, that after the Illuminati was created by Adam Weishaupt on July 1st, 1776, Weishaupt eventually entered the Masonic Lodge, and essentially the Masons infiltrated the Masonic Lodge so they could use the secrecy of Masonry and Masonic Lodges to further the nefarious goals, and they were the ones who were behind the French Revolution. And a lot of the Masons in France, you know, they wanted to overthrow the existing monarchy, but they didn't want the chaos that the Illuminists brought, and they we have an article, you can find it on the internet by the Marquis de Luché. And it's in French, but it talks about the Illuminati infiltrating Masonry and how upset the Masons were that the mess that the Illuminists had made of the French Revolution. This is actually an essay written back in 1789, or just about that time, at the time of the French Revolution. So certainly there's no question the Illuminists infiltrated Masonry. They're there today. We actually offer something we got from the Library of Congress. It's called the Clintonian Illuminati, an expose of the Clintonian Illuminati. It was written in about 1804. You can't get it any other place. Dr. Cuddy and I have managed to liberate that from the Library of Congress. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the Library of Congress and the other people in government don't want you to know the Illuminati was operating here in America back in the 1800s. It's operating here in America today. John, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, if you have a website, if you have a telephone number, if they'd like to get a copy of your book.
I do not, Doctor, have a site, but if anyone's interested, if they want to get in touch with you when we're off the air, I can sure manage to get some extra copies to you, and we can discuss further if there's a greater demand. I'll print more copies, but I'm pretty low.
All right, fine.
The number at this time.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, if you'd like to get a copy of John's book, you can call us at 1-888-544-8927 and just ask about that. Leave your name and telephone number, and we'll get you in touch with John. 1-800-544-8927. Go right ahead, John, with your story of how this movement then infiltrated modern-day Masonry. And, of course, modern-day Masonry is simply a continuation of these ancient mystery religions. And if you read Albert Pike's book, he will tell you modern-day Masonry is a continuation of the ancient mystery religions, of the Gnostics, of the Kabbalists, of the Templars, of the Rosicrucians, and then of the Illuminati. But go right ahead.
In 1796, John Adams decided to oppose Thomas Jefferson in his bid for the presidency. He made a major issue of the fact that Jefferson, who had been a minister to France from 1785 to 1789 and was sympathetic to the Illuminist fomented Reign of Terror, was using Masonic lodges for subversive purposes. John Quincy Adams wrote three letters to Colonel William L. Strong giving details of the charges. The information contained in these letters is credited with winning John Adams, his father, the presidency. I will now deal with the French Revolution.
Did you have those letters, or how could I get them? I've never seen them. I have no question at all, having read Ed Jefferson, that he was involved with the mystery religions. I think he repented it before he died, but he certainly was involved. It was certainly the mystery religions, as it were, and we can document that from other things. But do you have any idea where we get a copy of those letters by John Quincy Adams?
Oh, I'm afraid not, Doctor. You've caught me. Remember, I'm primarily compiling and editing other people's works, and it was solely intended for friends and family and business associates because I was so overwhelmed by what I had learned. And I had no idea that years later I'd be on the air with you or anyone talking about this.
All right, fine. We'll track them down. Maybe we can get them off the internet. But go right ahead with your story.
I wanted to skip over to John Coleman, a man I trust you've probably had on your show. The majority of citizens know little or nothing about the plan of the Illuminati. In democratic nations, the gullible masses are led to believe that their votes decide elections, that they choose their own leaders. What nonsense. These deluded men and women are painfully oblivious to the horrible truth, that unless a man has the endorsement of the masters who rule behind the scenes, he has no chance whatsoever of winning high office. And unless a politician covertly promises to support the goals of the Illumined Ones, which include the subversion of Christian morality and the promotion of environmentalism, globalism, and the gradual end of American sovereignty, he or she will never be elected. The rulers guarantee the outcome of elections by infusions of millions of dollars into the campaigns of their favored candidates, by their iron-fisted control of both the media and political parties, by endorsements of candidates by major organizations which they control, and, if necessary, by vote scams and outright electoral fraud. Now, back to a bit on the French Revolution. The facts of their involvement in this uprising are not well known. The traditional explanation of the French Revolution is that the French people, tired of being oppressed by King Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette, rose up in opposition to the monarchy and started the revolution by storming the Bastille prison. This activity, according to the official historical record, started the revolution that was to culminate in the replacing of the monarchy with the so-called French Republic. An erroneous presumption about the causes of the French Revolution is that the revolution was the action of the masses of the French people. This concept of large numbers of Frenchmen supporting the revolution is erroneous, because in truth, out of the 800,000 inhabitants of Paris, only approximately 1,000 took any part in the siege of the Bastille. We see the classic example of the conspiracy at work. The benevolent king was fostering the rise of the middle class by encouraging a better and healthier society. This situation was intolerable to those who were in the lair just beneath the ruling class as the rising middle class began to assume power themselves. The conspirators intended to eliminate not only the king and the present ruling class, but the middle class as well. The enemy of the conspiracy is always the middle class. And boy, are we seeing the middle class get wiped out today.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, that's why, of course, they're going to be raising the price of electricity, certainly lowering wage scales here in America, and more people have been losing their homes. That was sort of a middle class status symbol. You know, you had your own home, and millions of people have lost their homes. The plan is to destroy the middle class here in America. They're in the process of doing it. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're transferring our jobs and our manufacturing and our wealth to other countries so we can have equitable distribution of wealth between nations. That's the plan. It's written up in the Earth Charter, written by Stephen Rockefeller, the nephew of the most powerful man in America today, David Rockefeller. Go right ahead.
So the French Revolution was a fraud and a hoax. The people were being manipulated for reasons not made known to them. The invisible hand that guided the entire French Revolution was the Illuminati. Only 13 years in existence, yet powerful enough to cause a revolution in one of the major countries of the world. But the members of the Illuminati had laid down the plans for the revolution years before and had infiltrated another secret group, the Masons. The plan of the Illuminati was to infiltrate the Masonic order, convert it into a branch of the Illuminati, and then use its secrecy as the vehicle to overthrow the monarchy. So the French Revolution was created to replace God with the goddess of reason. The conspirators offered the French people the essential program of the Illuminati. Man's mind would solve man's problems. In spite of all of the evidence of the planning, however, there are still those who believe the French Revolution was the spontaneous activity of an oppressed population rising up against a tyrannical king. Life magazine, in a series of articles on the subject of revolution, wrote the French Revolution was not planned and instigated by conspirators. It was the result of a spontaneous uprising by the masses of the French people. There are reasons other than historical ignorance that Life magazine takes this position.
Well, I think we have to understand that, Sydney, Life magazine, Time magazine, U.S. News and World Report, certainly the Newsweek magazine, all tie into the Council on Foreign Relations Trilateral Commission. And you trace them back. Of course, the Council on Foreign Relations was formed in 1921 as a front for a secret society that was created in 1891. And this is all covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. But this secret society was created by Cecil Rhodes and by Lord Milner, both of whom were Masons, it's sworn this week at Oaths of Masonry, and by a man named William Stead, who was deeply involved in the occult and spiritualism. He was the disciple of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. He was a theosophist and a Luciferian. And this is from whence the organization came. The Council on Foreign Relations came from, and of course the goal has always been to create this one world government. Initially it was to be ruled by England, eventually it was to be ruled by America, and then of course create this world government. But behind that, and what everybody has missed, are these powerful spiritual forces. Because of course when you swear your oaths to enter Masonry, you swear an oath to Lucifer, even though there not one person in 10,000 Masons really understands what those oaths signify. The oaths to the light, to the great light, more light. Go right ahead.
Finally, getting back to John Coleman again with his views on this revolution. It was in this vein that the modern Illuminati began, when Adam Weishaupt, under the apparent indirect influence of the Order of the Garter, infiltrated the Masonic lodges of France starting on May 1, 1776. According to Coleman, the French Revolution was organized and run out of England by Jeremy Bentham and William Petty, the Earl of Shelburne, by means of the secret Quatuor Coronati Lodge in London and the Nine Sister Lodge in Paris. Christians have heard that the Illuminati had certain outward goals, among them which were the abolition of oligarchies and government, the destruction of the major religions, and the elimination of the family unit, patriotism and private ownership, along with a parallel introduction of communal education for children. What was perhaps not been realized, however, is that the real agenda of the Illuminati appears not to have been to introduce total societal chaos, as is so commonly believed. Rather, it was to eliminate and subdue all the British monarchy's potential competition and opposition, while simultaneously aiding its rise to global dominance. And then, finally, from 1789, when Jeremy Bentham and William Petty, the Earl of Shelburne, fresh from the triumph of the French Revolution, which they planned and ran, were drafted by the British Crown to bring their combined experience to bear against the colonists, to 1812, when the British sacked and burned Washington, destroying secret documents that would have exposed the treason being worked against the young United States of America, to the watergating of President Nixon and assassination of President Kennedy, the hand of the Committee of 300 is clearly visible. Now, this is the first time I mentioned this. He had a great book, The Committee of 300, John Coleman did, and basically that is his pinning the tail on the donkey, so to speak, as to who the modern-day conspirators are. And then he goes on to mention famous members of the Committee of 300, past and present.
Well, you know, the one thing about John Coleman's book, The Committee of 300, is he will not give you any documentation. He just says, trust me. And I don't trust anybody. And my friends have contacted him and said, where's the documentation for the Committee of 300? It's a great book, but where's the documentation? And Mr. Coleman will not provide it. But go ahead.
That's a very valid point, and If you'd like, I can skip mentioning the 20 or 30 people that he mentions are members of the Committee of 300 after what you said.
He really cannot document any of it, but it's a great story. But go ahead.
Well, I'll go ahead and name them. Dean Acheson, Dwayne Andreas, John Jacob Astor and successor Waldorf, Arthur Balfour, Lord Beaverbrook, Sir Walter Besant, Willie Brandt, Warren Buffett, McGeorge Bundy, George Bush, Joseph Califano, Lord Carrington, Winston Churchill, Clark Clifford, Delano family, DuPont family, Lazard Frères, Richard Gardner, Lloyd George, Lord Gladstone, Peter J. Gray, Lord Halifax, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, Aldous Huxley, John Maynard Keynes, Henry Kissinger, Saul Linowitz, Andrew Mellon, Lord Alfred Milner, Francois Mitterrand, John P. J.P. Morgan, Lord Louis Mountbatten, John Naisbitt, Sir Ernest Oppenheimer and successor Harry, William S. Paley, Olaf Palme, Lord Palmerston, Aurelio Piché, Peter G. Peterson, Prince Rainier, Cecil Rhodes, David Rockefeller, Eugene Rostow, Rothschild family, Dr. Robert Runcie, Sir Bertrand Russell, Robert Sarnoff, George Shultz, William Simon, Maurice Strong, Ted Turner, Vanderbilt family, Cyrus Vance, Sir Geoffrey Vickers, Paul Warnke, Earl Warren, Sir Caspar Weinberger, and H.G. Wells. That's that. Now, let me skip ahead here, Dr. Stan. Over the past 100 years, the conspiracy has grown exponentially to the point that trying to keep track of the various organizations, think tanks, governmental agencies, and military political alliances become a Herculean task. The invisible power behind the scenes has created so many entangling fronts that one can no longer just call the conspirators for world government, the Illuminati, or Freemasons. In all likelihood, the ruling body of the present-day conspiracy is called the Committee of 300, which is headed and controlled in the inner sanctum by the previously mentioned English Order of the Garter. So that's John Coleman's take on all of this.
Well, I would certainly disagree with Mr. Coleman, but he's certainly has a right to believe what he wants to. But if he can't verify any of it, then DeCrecy claims to have been a member of British intelligence who now is going rogue and going to reveal anything. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a member of intelligence and you go rogue and you start getting the information out, how long do you think you live? Well, maybe a few days, a few weeks, but not very long, that's for sure. We'll be going to be back in just a moment with John as we wrap up this incredible story right here at Radio Liberty. Well, John, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Doctor, I think with...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about anything any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
This is listener supported, and if you're out there in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. We do carry the book, the Nesta Webster's Secret Societies and Subversive Movements. Now, there's a little a sort of anti-Semitic tinge to the book, but overall, the material information in it is excellent. That's the Secret Societies and Subversive Movements. We carry our book on the French Revolution. The information you're never going to learn in college, but the French Revolution, as most of the revolutions, have simply been manipulated by a small group that are moving us progressively towards this one world government. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. It will point how we brought communism to China, how we financed communism in Russia, and the documentation on that we have available in the book, or we can give you the government reports, copies of the pages from the government reports. You'll certainly want to read Professor Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, FDR and Wall Street. These are all books written by Professor Sutton. We also have his book, America's Secret Establishment, going to the background of Skull and Bones. But you must understand that all of these movements, there are a number of them, but they all have a common goal and a common spiritual background. The common goal is a destruction of the existing social society and destruction of the world revolution. And, of course, the basically, it's all part of the plan. If you go to my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll read about God's plan. And what is God's plan? Well, God's plan is certainly to unite everything. God's plan, and I'm quoting here from 1950 Masonic magazine, God's plan is dedicated to the unification of all races, religions, and creeds. This plan is dedicated to the new order of things, is to make all things new, a new nation, a new race, a new civilization, and a new religion, a non-sectarian religion that has already been recognized and called the religion of the great light. And you'll find that on page 130 of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you don't have it, shame on you. You need to get it. You need to understand there is a massive subversive movement in our nation, and it involves the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and certainly the hierarchy of Masonry. They are all subversive. They are working against America. They want to destroy our sovereignty. They want to destroy our religious foundation, and boy, are they doing a great job of it. And if you ever wondered why they took God and prayer out of our schools and the Bible, it is because the Masons controlled the Supreme Court from 41 to 71, and nobody will tell the American people that. And you need to get the information and help us to get it out, because the time, believe me, is late. I've been at this for 48 years, and I know that we are simply running out of time. if there are not enough people who care why we're going to lose this nation. And believe me, freedom once lost will never be regained. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get certainly the trilogy of three DVDs on the secret mystery of America's beginning. Get them separately or get them together. They're put out by Chris Pinto. They're very, very professionally done. And they will explain to you exactly what's going on in the secret societies behind the scenes and the influence of Masonry. But it's not just Masonry. It's all these other organizations we talk about. You need to go to our website and read our newsletters, our latest three newsletters on the secret cabal. The April, May, and June newsletters, July newsletter will be up there before long. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Please tell others about our program. Encourage them to listen. And Sydney, you have my permission to copy anything we have produced. You copy our newsletters, get the pamphlets, and you can copy those. They simply will cover various issues. What really happened on September 11th, we've been lied to, and pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
For joining us on the Power Hour today, 2 August 2010. Thank you so very much for caring about your world. You're not going to believe what they're trying to do to your world today. I am not kidding. Unbelievable news coming out of Oklahoma. Have you heard about it? That's right. More stupid news. It gets stupider every day on the GSI, the Government Stupidity Index. Unbelievable. I mean, this one will make you literally say, that's it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But coming from Oklahoma is the stupidest news yet. And what is going on in Washington now with Representative Charlie Rangel and Representative Maxine Waters? I mean, these people are up in age. You know what? I don't know how they get around the Capitol building. When I've gone up there, walked around, gone to offices, visited people, I mean, that place is huge. You do a lot of walking. I don't know how these people do it. More power to them. But it appears that Representative Maxine Waters and Charlie Rangel are in trouble, and nobody's really going to bail them out. Oh, now, we're not looking at criminal charges or anything serious that might happen to the rest of us. They're going to slap them on the wrist, I'm sure. Is your detergent stalking you? Can it be? Another one of those, oh, they wouldn't think of it, would they? Yes, they have. And they're doing it also. But I'll tell you what, there appears to be a crack in the monolith. People are now finally seeing that they can no longer be led around by the ring in their nose if they plan on having any quality of life. Number one, you're being watched anywhere and everywhere you go on the web. It's worse than you thought. The web is a gold mine of information for people to sell. Look what happened to Facebook. 100 million Facebook users had their information published online. Feel safe and secure with your Facebook account? 100 million users. Did you hear about the Florida robbery where the woman stopped the man with her Christian faith? I think we ought to play the audio from that for you to hear. It's one of those, I can't believe it, but that is so good. There is a country who is now pulled out of the war in Afghanistan. Of course, it's not the first.